So the last time that I spoke, I actually spoke about one of a particular means of spiritual growth, and that is fasting. And we talked a little bit about fasting, and we talked about it in conjunction with our theme for this year. And our theme this year is on the cover of your bulletin, conformed to Christ's image. And one of the ways of becoming conformed to Christ's image is by engaging in various spiritual disciplines and practices, and through that we can hopefully grow closer to Christ, but also those can be used in a way that God can begin to work in our lives and continue to work in our lives to bring about change. And so fasting is one of those means. And what I'd like to do actually over the next few weeks is to continue this theme of means of spiritual growth. And so since our theme is to be conformed to Christ's image, I think there's a variety of means that we can do to grow in the Lord. Now, in most churches, especially Chinese churches, but I'd say most churches in America, when you would ask people, or you'd even ask the leaders, what are some means to growth? How can you grow in your walk with God? And most will say, you know, very standard, maybe Sunday school answers almost, go to church, read your Bible, pray, maybe be engaged in some kind of outreach to your friends. And those would be the main ways that we grow spiritually. And of course, these are ways that we can grow spiritually. So these are probably the foundational ways that God can use in order to help us to grow. But there's many more varieties of means that can be utilized in our lives that we can practice in order to help us grow. And as I mentioned last time, we talked a little bit about fasting, and fasting usually referred to food fast. In that particular culture. And Jesus was asked by John's apostle, John the Baptist, the disciples of John the Baptist, asked Jesus and his disciples, why don't your disciples fast? And Jesus said, well, they can't fast while the bridegroom is here, but after I go, then will be their time for fasting. And so the implication is that in the church age, now that Jesus has ascended to heaven, the church, those of us individuals in the church, will participate in fasting. And I think it doesn't necessarily have to be limited to food. It doesn't have to be all day fast. It doesn't have to be, and most likely probably shouldn't be, a 40-day fast in the desert like Jesus did. But nonetheless, food fasts are probably the most helpful, but we can also have maybe what's the most difficult for our modern age is to take an internet fast or a social media fast. So there's a whole variety of ways that we can fast. Now, today we're going to continue on and look at another means of spiritual growth, and that is solitude and silence. Now, this is an artifact of an earlier time. It's called a rotary phone. This is what I had in my house growing up. Actually, my dad has a phone similar to this right now, though I think he actually upgraded to a push-button phone. But it actually looks exactly like that, so he still has a very long cord. He can get through most of the house with his cord, but he hasn't quite discovered cellular technology. But this was our phone back when I was growing up. Now, there was no voicemail. You had to be in the house in order to take a call. Oftentimes, there was a lot of arguments because of this phone, because if one person got a call and they spent a lot of time on the phone, someone wanted to make a call, they had to try to kick them off, but they didn't want to leave the phone, and so there'd be arguments. If you were lucky, if someone was home, they might take a message for you. But basically, we live disconnected lives. Nowadays, we live very connected lives. Most of us have these smart devices, smartphones, and any time of the day or night, someone can text us or Facebook message us or even call us. So we're very connected. But I bring this up because in some cases in this earlier, simpler time, it was much easier to disconnect. In fact, we weren't even connected, so it was easy to actually kind of spend time in your own thoughts or actually getting time that you could spend in solitude or time alone with God, and even because you really just weren't connected. And so, as a kid, I spent a lot of time outside. The punishment when I was a kid was to go to your room. Nowadays, the punishment would be for my son, go outside. So things have changed. But nonetheless, we live in a very connected world, and I think it's even more challenging because of technology. But nonetheless, I think we can still learn from Jesus how we can spend time alone with God, time alone with Him. And we'll read that in Luke 5. So let's read this together. Yet the news about Him spread all the more, so that crowds of people came to hear Him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. And so we see here, the context of this is Jesus had, in the Gospel of Luke, in the earlier part of the chapter, Jesus had just begun to call His disciples, and He had just called Matthew and John, and it was the incident where He told them to put down their nets, and then even though it was the beginning of the middle of the day, and when you couldn't catch fish, of course they put down their nets, and then they caught a big haul of fish, and Jesus called actually Peter and John, and He said to Peter, I will make you fishers of men. And then after that, Jesus began His healing ministry, and one of the first people that He healed, at least as reported in Luke, was a man with leprosy. And Jesus actually said an interesting thing to him. He says, do not tell anybody. It's kind of counterintuitive. We're always encouraging everyone to tell others about Jesus. And Jesus tells this man, don't tell anybody. Go to the temple, present yourself, and make a sacrifice or whatever, and then go your way. But I think it was difficult for this man and his family to keep a secret. And so they said the crowds began to follow Jesus more and more. And so we see the news spread about Him, and the crowds came to hear Him. And so Jesus was now in a place of prominence before others. And so that's the first thing that we can really see, that there was crowds, and people wanted to hear Jesus. They wanted to hear this new preacher on the scene. And I think they were especially interested in hearing about Jesus because of His healings. So even though He hadn't done a lot of healings or a lot of miracles at this point, nonetheless, this piqued people's interest, and they really wanted to see what was going on. And so Jesus now has, even though at this point in His ministry He didn't want crowds, nonetheless there was all of these crowds that were following Him. And so this, I think, became probably, I would guess, if you're speaking in front of thousands of people all of a sudden, it will add a little stress to your life. A lot of people think that public speaking is stressful. It's one of the more stressful things. They say the two most stressful things for people are a fear of death and a fear of public speaking. I don't think Jesus had a fear of either of those. But nonetheless, when you have so many people crowding around you, seeking your attention, seeking healing, I think that it can be draining, and that indeed Jesus probably wasn't so much stressed, but he just needed time where he could rejuvenate. And so I think we have similar issues, similar problems in our day. We have a busyness, I think it's called a busyness, some called the busyness trap. And so we're so worried. We have so many things going on. We're trying to multitask, and life is busy, and it's just really hard to just kind of get away and to focus our thoughts. And what this can lead to, and in the case of Jesus with the crowds following Him, but for any of us, if we're leading busy lives, if we're not getting enough sleep, our tanks can become full. Now, there's some Christian psychologists that I've listened to that actually kind of categorize our lives into different tanks, and they'll say that we all have a spiritual tank, and we all have a physical tank, and we all have an emotional tank. And all of these tanks, I'm probably missing some, but all of these tanks are important for us to keep full in order for us to follow God. I was listening once to a lecture by Bill Hybels. He's the pastor of Willow Creek Church. It's at Willow Creek Church in Illinois, and it's actually the first what we would call megachurch. back in the 80s. It just began to grow and grow, and it got over 10,000 people. And the Lord really did a work through him in the town of Lake Forest, just north of Chicago. And he was talking about, he was doing a lecture at my seminary at the time, and he was saying that he was a little perplexed because he just really kind of was feeling burnout. He was just always feeling worn down. And he said, you know, physically he was fine. He was getting enough sleep and he was working out. He said socially, maybe that's another thing, socially he was fine because he had friends and he met with small group of guys every week and they prayed and they encouraged one another. He said, spiritually he was, spiritually he was fine because, you know, he was spending time in the Word and in accountability. But he said he just couldn't figure out what was dragging him down, and he said it was actually his emotional tank, which was low. And the emotional tank, he said, was when he would preach. And then on a Sunday, he found preaching at several services with thousands of people that it was very emotionally draining. And then he said that, you know, he took his day off like later in the week or maybe Saturday, and then he would just begin the week Monday, and he would just begin to do ministry, and he was just depleted emotionally. And after he figured out that it was an emotional component, he switched his day off and he just made time that sure that not only he could get rest, but that he could recharge emotionally. And so that was really the cure. And so we know Jesus was fully man, fully human, and in his humanity, I think Jesus as well needed time to get away, to be alone, in order to recharge his batteries, whether spiritually, emotionally, or physically. And I think that's the same for each of us. We need to kind of monitor our gauges. We monitor our gauges in our cars, for those of us who drive, to make sure our oil levels are fine and our gas levels are fine. And in the same way, we need to make sure that spiritually we're doing okay, and maybe physically and socially, but even emotionally, we need to maybe figure out ways that we can recharge our batteries. And so I think that's what Jesus did when he withdrew to lonely places. And that's what it says here. Jesus often withdrew to lonely places, and it was in this withdrawal that Jesus was able to, I believe, fill up his tanks and be able to recharge his batteries. And I think this is a challenge for all of us. I have a picture here in the woods because it reminded me of a men's retreat that I went on probably 5 or 6 years ago. My church had an annual men's retreat. And one of the parts of the retreat, maybe it was on a Saturday afternoon or something, was to go and spend 2 hours alone with God. And so, fortunately, it was kind of in the countryside, in a wooded area. That's not me, by the way, but, you know, who knows, it could have been. But nonetheless, you know, I had to spend a couple hours in prayer and seeking the Lord. And I thought, you know, that shouldn't be too hard. You know, I can do that. But, you know, it's actually quite challenging to spend 2 hours fully focused on God. And actually, the time went by really slowly because after, you know, you spend a little time in worship and a little time in prayer, it's like, okay, I think I've prayed for everything that I can, and now I have an hour and 45 minutes to go. So what should I do? And so anyway, for me, walking is helpful and being in nature, and I think I just started singing praises to the Lord and trying to think and pray about different things. But nonetheless, I think that spending extended time, spending time out in the wilderness, out alone, can be challenging in terms of what we do. But I think maybe even more challenging is actually withdrawing and getting away. We live in a time that there's just not a lot of free time, but there's also not a lot of space. Even here in Colombia, I think the population of our metropolitan area here is 750,000. That would have been the biggest of big cities back in ancient Palestine. I'm not even sure that that Jerusalem at the time, the biggest city, would have been 750,000. But 750,000 in our society is actually considered a small town. In China, this would be a little village, considering most of their cities are like 10 million or more. So nonetheless, but it can still be, even in our time, I guess we have some trees, we could to get away, go in the bushes somewhere, I don't know. But nonetheless, it can be a challenge to find a place to actually withdraw and spend time with God. And I don't think Jesus had that problem to find a lonely place. But for us, it may be a little more challenging. But nonetheless, we're called to somehow disconnect, unplug, and spend time with the Lord. And this is what we see here. Jesus often withdrew to lonely places. So I think Jesus was intentional in his withdrawing from extricating himself from his followers, from his disciples, and from the crowds. And he went indeed to these lonely places where he could spend time with the Lord. And in this particular case, I couldn't but help but think of King David. And we know King David, the scriptures say, he was a man after God's own heart. And I think one of the reasons that he was a man after God's own heart was that he spent much time alone with God. Now, before he became king, before he conquered Goliath and the Philistine armies, he spent a lot of time out in the fields because he was a shepherd. And so, talk about being disconnected. He was out in the middle of nowhere. He probably was by himself. The only company that he had was sheep. So I think he took his lyre, kind of a stringed instrument, and probably many of the psalms that we have now were probably composed then. He didn't even have a Bible that he could bring along, because the only Bibles at the time would have been scrolls in maybe the main synagogues in each region. And so back then, though, because they didn't have scripture, they memorized a lot of scripture. So I suspect that David and his family would have memorized a lot of scripture over time. And when he was out in the fields, out in the wilderness with his sheep, he would spend time reciting scriptures and composing songs and praying. And it was through these disciplines that he was practicing out by himself that I think God really began to forge in his heart and his life a real heart after God. And again, I think this is challenging for us, because most of us will never be in a field shepherding sheep or be in that context. But nonetheless, we're still called to get away, to withdraw to some lonely place, some place where people aren't. Now, the scriptures also say to go, you know, find a, you know, pray, don't pray in front of the street corners, but, you know, go into a room and pray before your Father is in heaven. So this lonely place could even be a place in your house that you can go where you aren't disturbed in order to spend time with God. And what was Jesus' focus? Well, Jesus could have focused on just getting away and maybe taking a nap or resting. Certainly, I think maybe he needed that. But it says his focus here was prayer, that he went off to these lonely places and he prayed. He spent time with God, seeking to know God's will for his life. Indeed, the scriptures tell us in John that Jesus said, "What is it?" Jesus says, "My food, the food that gives me substance, is to do the will of him who sent me." And so Jesus, I think, needed to spend time in the wilderness in order to connect with his Father and to get close to his Father and to understand what God's will was in his life and of course, draw closer in his relationship with God. And so if Jesus needed to do this, I think all the more each of us need to take time to spend alone with God. And I think Jesus understood the necessity of getting away and spending time with the Father. And I think a few of the things he realized was the necessity of prayer. That this is just not something that he just kind of tacked onto his schedule, but that it was something that was regularly part of what he did. If we go back to the scriptures, it says Jesus often withdrew to the lonely places and prayed. And so this was something he did on a regular basis, he did often, in order to connect with God. I believe also Jesus understood that prayer required intentionality. It just wasn't something, like I said, that he tacked onto his schedule, but that was something that was a regular part of his schedule, a regular part of his life, and that he was intentional in taking this time to be with God. And I think Jesus also understood the need for a connection with his Father. that he needed to spend time cultivating his relationship with God. And so for each of us, we're called, I believe, to spend time alone with God. This is actually when I was in college in my Navigators Fellowship. This was one of our main themes throughout my years there, time alone with God. Now, some called it tag time. They kind of took out the W, T-A-G, tag time. And some of us called it tog time. I'm not sure which was better. But nonetheless, we would encourage each other to spend time alone with God. As a cornerstone of our walk with Him, seeking to grow with Him. And what are some reasons that we should spend time alone with God? What are some benefits that we receive when we spend time alone with God? Well, I think we've mentioned a few already, but one is fellowship with God. When we spend time with the Lord, when we spend time in prayer, we foster our fellowship with God, we foster our relationship with God, and we draw closer to Him. Secondly, we can have time to pray for others. Sometimes it can be hard to find time to pray for others. And, of course, I think that we should pray for others. And when we get prayer requests from our friends or through email or Facebook or however, personal requests, we should be praying for others. But sometimes we just don't get the time that we really need to pray for others and pray for our family. And spending time alone with God can provide that. Thirdly, I think spending time alone with God gives us the opportunity to pray for wisdom and direction in our lives. And in James 1:5, we see, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. And so taking time to be with God, to spend time alone with God, can help us to ask God for the wisdom that we need to live our lives wholly for Him. And I think this may be one of the more important ones, but spending time with God puts everything else in perspective. And so sometimes we may be feeling overwhelmed by life or overwhelmed by relationships or stressed about our tests or where we're going to be, where God's leading us in the future. But when we spend time alone with God, and in a sense it's like we can begin flying like that helicopter, like a helicopter over the city. We don't just see it's not now we're in a traffic jam trying to figure out where to go, or we're just kind of sitting there frustrated. But when you kind of get above it all, you can kind of see what's going on down in life below, and we can try to gain perspective, God's perspective on our life, and to begin to seek His will for what He's calling us to do. And so these are a few reasons why we can and should spend time alone with God, some benefits. But I think there's also some different, like, how do you spend time with God? There's actually a book that I remember reading back a long time ago by, at the time, the president of the Navigators, Lauren Fanny, and it's the book is entitled, How to Spend a Day in Prayer. I think, you know, for most of us, how to spend a half an hour in prayer or an hour in prayer is a lot. So I don't think we necessarily need to begin at that high level of a day in prayer, but we can maybe occasionally begin to spend larger chunks of time with God in prayer. I'm not sure if this book is still published, but if you go to the Navigators website, they actually have this as a resource and some PDF files, and you can get some hints about it. But nonetheless, some aspects of prayer time, I think, when we do spend with time, even if it's maybe 10 minutes or a half an hour or an hour or a half a day, whatever, we should have some of these aspects in our prayer time. This isn't necessarily anything new in our lives, but just as a reminder, we would probably want to start worshiping the Lord, praising the Lord, thanking Him for what He's done in our life, adoring Him, giving Him the glory. And then we would spend time in confession before the Lord so that we can, as we confess our sins, we can come before Him with a purity of heart as we seek His will. I see him having number problems again. We have three number ones, so these are important too. Hear from God. Hear from God. Now, I think this would be focused on the Word. Jesus, I think, could hear from God directly. Some people seem to claim even now that they have a direct access to God in some way, but that hasn't been mine or most experience, because the Lord has given His Word in order for us to know Him and to understand His will, and God can use His Word to speak to us. And we can spend time praying for others, and finally we can spend time praying for ourselves, our needs, and maybe the wisdom and direction that God would give us in our lives. And so I think there's other aspects of prayer, obviously, and if you're spending more time in prayer, you can spend more time in meditation or maybe memorizing scripture and the like. But these are just some important aspects, I think, of prayer time. But I think this all kind of leads to this conclusion, which I would encourage us today, and it's this: if Jesus took time to be alone with God in a special place, then we must follow his example and do the same. In a sense, if it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for us. And if Jesus needed to spend time alone with God, so too we must, it's imperative for us as well to spend time alone with God. Now, I think this is, in a sense, preaching to the choir. Most of you, if we would have a discussion in a class setting or a small group, I think there wouldn't be a person here that would say or disagree with the fact that we should spend time alone with God. But I think that I want to just bring encouragement to us today to set aside that time. If you don't have times regularly with God, maybe it's the time to start. If you do spend time regularly with God, maybe it's time to add some more time, or maybe schedule some time apart from your regular quiet time, maybe an hour on a Saturday afternoon at some point, or another time when you may have some opening in your schedule. So I think each of us can grow in this area, and I would encourage us to seek to set aside that time for God. And I think that when we do so, we'll find that that prayer indeed changes things. I think prayer changes things in our life, because when we do pray, God can and will begin to work in our lives and to help give us wisdom to know how to follow him. And so I think there's an impact on our lives when we pray. But I think there's also a broader impact as we pray for others, as we pray for strength to serve God, as we pray for God's kingdom come, for his will be done. It can then move beyond us that we may begin having an impact on our community and the world at large, as we seek to ask for God's intervention in various areas of life and ministry. And so prayer changes things, but we need to spend that time in prayer in order to indeed change things. And so my encouragement for all of us this week is to spend time with God. Maybe get it on your schedule. Think of a day that you can set aside maybe a half an hour for God or an hour for God, and go through these different aspects of prayer, seeking to commune with our God and our Father, drawing closer to him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you and praise you for your word, and we thank you for the example of Jesus, who in spite of his busyness, in spite of the demands that he had from the crowds around him to speak and to heal and to relate with him, he knew that he needed to recharge his tanks. He needed to get away. He needed to pray and commune with his Father. And help us, Lord, as well, to make this a priority in our life, to set aside time with you, even if it's maybe 5 minutes in the morning and 5 minutes in the evening, or an hour here or an hour there, whatever it is, Lord, help us to set aside that time intentionally, that we may grow in our walk with you, grow in our prayer life, grow closer to you. And we thank you, Lord, for what you will do in our lives, but what you will do in the world, Lord, and our community, as we seek your face. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.